May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn 975. He comes, the Saviour full of grace, by ancient prophets sung, the smile of mercy on his face, and truth upon his tongue. Hymn 975. Holy Word is from the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 2, reading down to verse 40. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, reading to verse 40. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and now help his servant in prayer.
Dear Lord, in thy great mercy, thou hast spared us once more to gather in thy courts. And, O Lord, as we gather on this thy holy day, we do pray that we may be like dear John of old in the Isle of Patmos, and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. May thy Spirit, dear Lord, rule our spirit. May we have the mind and the Spirit of Christ. Oh, we seek for grace to humble ourselves before thee. For thou art a holy and just God, and thou delightest in holiness, and holy is thy name. We are poor, fallen sinners, Lord, defiled by sin and unbelief. And all we do thank thee, thou hast made a way whereby sinners can approach unto a holy God, in and through the blessed person of the dear Lord Jesus. And oh, we would come pleading his precious name, his precious blood, his glorious merits, his righteousness, nor that our hearts may be humbled, Lord, we may confess our many, many sins before Thee. Oh, we would be found as real penitent sinners at Thy dear feet, begging and pleading for mercy, pleading to be washed in that precious blood of Jesus. Oh, we pray for that real heart repentance to be given to us, that Thou dost give to Thy dear people, that we may know our pardon signed and our peace procured. Oh, do come and assure us this day, dear Lord, that Thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us, that didst come into this world to redeem our soul. We pray that each sin-sick, burdened soul this day may lose their load, and a downcast soul's rejoice. Lord, Thou alone canst turn the darkness that many walk in into light. Thou alone canst grant, Lord, that liberty that Thy people long for. We know so much, Lord, and we do, of the bondage and unbelief there is within. Oh, do come, dear Lord, and loose Thy people. Let them go. May there be those even this day set at liberty, that they may be able to tell the King's household what a dear Saviour they have found. Oh, do call by divine grace those that as yet know Thee not. Oh, that Thou wast open blind eyes, dear Lord, and unstopped deaf ears, and cause the dead to hear the voice of the Son of God and to live. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, Thou wilt work. Oh, how we need Thee to fulfil Thy sweet promise, for Thou didst say, I will work, and who shall let it? Oh, may Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto their children. Grant us, Lord, a true spirit of worship this day. We may worship Thee in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. Oh, do shut the world out, Lord. Keep Satan from the doors of our hearts and from the doors of the sanctuary. Oh, may it please Thee to appear for those that are plagued by unbelief, and that Thou wilt give us that faith, Lord, to believe even to the saving of our souls. We pray that Thou wilt strengthen our little faith, our hope, our love, and oh, that we may have that faith, Lord, to view Thee, that faith to view Thy pierced hands and feet and side. And oh, that Thou wast assured us Thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us. O Lord, do come and take away all the unbelief that plagues us. One of old said, blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. But oh, we thank thee, dear Lord, thou art thine own interpreter, and thou canst make it plain. You come to the tempest-tossed of thy dear people and cause the storms, Lord, they have to walk through to become a calm, Lord, and peace flowing into the souls of thy people. May they prove that precious word of the dear hymn writers, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. And as we come to this sacred season, Lord, of the remembering and celebrating of thy glorious birth, oh, may we be favoured, Lord, like those dear souls we have read of in thy word, like the shepherds and Simeon and Anna and others, Lord. Oh, that a precious Jesus may be made exceedingly precious to each one, and the one thing that is needful. Oh, do come, Lord, to the dear children, and oh, may as they anticipate their gifts for this season, they may be brought to view the wondrous gift of thy beloved Son, and that we may each know the realities of what the Apostle said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And O Lord, we do pray that the prayers of dear parents may be heard for the offspring, Lord. Thou wilt send down those answers of peace. Who bless the dear babes, we thank thee for them in thy house. And we pray that thou wilt remember them and each of the dear children and the dear young people with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. And thou wilt visit each one with thy salvation. And, O Lord, may there be thy blessing upon the Sabbath school, and the dear teachers receive those sweet encouragements from time to time. They labour not in vain, nor spend their strength for naught. And may it find an abiding place in the hearts of the young, that there may be found in them some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt guide and direct the dear young people and help them to continually commit their way to thee and cast all their burdens and cares upon thee. And oh, may there be raised up a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Oh, do remember, Lord, those that have many afflictions, Lord. We live in a day of so much affliction. But, Lord, we pray that thou wilt send healing, if it's thy holy will, to thy dear children. And, oh, do sanctify these afflictions. May thy dear people be enabled in them all to be still and to know that thou art God, to leave everything in thy hands. We pray that, thou wilt speak through the plague in this land, Lord, that many may be brought to seek thy face and to flee the wrath to come, and to call upon thy great and holy name. And, O Lord, do remember those that may got some special need today, and may have many fears and many things to cause them exercise and concern. We do pray that they would appear for each one and make bare thine arm. For, O Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. And, O Lord, do remember thy dear aged people. O come and prepare them and prepare us each, Lord, to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must thee work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe and wash us in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, do fit and prepare us, Lord, for that great day of death and a vast eternity. May we be amongst those that are ready, waiting for thy coming. Oh, do come, Lord, and bless this corner of thy vineyard and our own flock at home and throughout Zion and throughout thy causes throughout this earth where thy truth is faithfully preached. And oh, may there be a revival of real vital things, a gracious building up. Many, Lord, are brought to Zion. Oh, that thou wouldst work in this village and in the villages and towns and cities of this land and throughout the earth, Lord, that there may be an awakening of many from the graves of unregeneracy and brought into thy marvellous light. Do help thy dear people to wrestle with thee and give thee no rest until thou dost work. May it please thee, dear Lord, to add to the church's precious souls. We pray there may be others constrained here and throughout our own flock and through Zion. For thou hast said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And oh, do make us willing, Lord, continually to do thy will and to seek thy face, to serve thee, and willing to obey thy commandments. We grant that real travail in the churches, Lord. Thou hast said, when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Oh, we pray that thou wilt bless the deacons here and help them in all the burden and weight and responsibilities they have. Give them that wisdom, Lord, and strength and help. Especially help our dear brother in the a path of loss he feels, and his dear family too. Oh, do make up the breach, Lord, and favour them with those sweet visits from thyself, that they may be able to say with the dear servant of God, Job of old, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt help thy dear servants as they labour today throughout Zion and throughout this earth. Oh, that thou wouldst help thy dear servant if he were able and given strength to minister to our flock this morning, Lord. And thy dear servant this afternoon. May it be a time of sweet refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And oh, in mercy do look upon this guilty land. Oh Lord, the sin and iniquity runs down our streets. Oh Lord, we've departed from thee. We don't have to remind thee. Thou knowest in so many ways. Thou work mightily in our Queen and abundantly bless her in her great age and weakness. And give her those real spiritual blessings in heavenly places if it would please thee. And work mightily in the royal family and in our Prime Minister and those in government, Lord. Turn their hearts from seeking to do their own thing and their own ways to do thy will, to seek for thy appeal. Oh, do bring the nation, Lord, to real God-given repentance and to flee to thee for refuge. Lord, do convince us each of our sin and lead to Jesus' precious blood and convince this nation, Lord, that there may be a real turning to the Lord even from our Queen downwards. Do hear the prayers of thy dear people for thy appearing. Oh, may we yet see the wonders God alone can do. Preserve to us thy holy word and holy day, and the privileges we're so favoured with, and put down all those that would take these things from us. Now, Lord, we would praise thee for all thy great mercy. We stand amazed at thy goodness. Help us to love and praise thee more. And O Lord, do anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray for voice to speak, the hearing ear to thy dear people. And do touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. May the dear friends lose sight of this poor sinner and see no man save Jesus only. Make up in giving where we fail in asking, and forgive all that we've uttered amiss and all our sins and transgressions. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 112. No more, my God, I boast no more of all the duties I have done. I quit the hopes I held before to trust the merits of thy Son. Hymn 112.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2 and the 10th verse. Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. There's no doubt this is a most well-known, precious verse that we have named as a text. The Lord seemed to drop it in with a measure of divine power, thinking of the services today, and we trust it is the Lord's message to bring before you. It was spoken by the angel of God from heaven, not to eminent men, but to shepherds. They were to be favoured to hear these blessed tidings. And what a blessed effect it had upon them. And may the Lord favour us at this sacred season of the year, that we might know a little of the same favours. They were fulfilling their occupation when the Lord dispatched his precious angel to declare, we're not told who it was, but as in Matthew we read of the angel Gabriel came with that message to Mary that she would conceive the precious Son of God, and that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we have here, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. And how our text is the words that he quietened their hearts with. The angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Mostly throughout the Word of God, we find the Lord speaking of fear not to his dear people when they are full of fear because of trouble, because of affliction, because of distress, or because of many things they have to weigh them down. There may be those of you this morning that have those many fears. We are told in the hymn, aren't we? We're creatures of fear and we drag along and fear where no fear is. And there may be those fearful ones this morning that need such a word as this, why the Lord has given it to me. But It wasn't because of this that these shepherds feared. They feared because of the majesty of heaven descending upon them. Do you know what it is to fear before a holy God? Maybe in solemn conviction of sin. You fear because of his holiness and you feel so unholy yourself. You fear because of his majesty. These dear shepherds, they were afraid. Or they were. Such was the abundance of the revelation, and they were afraid. You know what it is in some little measure to be afraid when the Lord appears. You have a little glimpse of his holiness and reverence. Well, these dear shepherds, they were afraid. And you know, I want to just refer you, particularly thinking on this word, to two illustrations of it many, many years before this day when the Lord appeared to these shepherds where his dear people were afraid at his majesty. We think first of all of dear old Jacob at Bethel. He knew there at Bethel what it was to be afraid before a holy God. And as he dreamed, the Lord appeared, you see, and spoke to him. And let me just remind you of what the Lord in appearing to him, and behold, the Lord stood above it as he viewed that ladder, the top of it reached to heaven, and that ladder came from earth to heaven, and we behold the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And then this wonderful blessing the Lord spoke to him. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And then this, and he was afraid. Well, what did Jacob say? And I believe those shepherds knew what it was to feel it. And if the Lord descends to your poor heart and mine at this sacred season, we will know a little what Jacob felt. How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Do you know what it is? Well, let me come low. Do you desire to know what it is? When heaven is begun below, it's a wonderful place, you know. And may the Lord favour us, not only at this season of the year, but if we're spared to venture into the coming year, that we may experience then a little of heaven begun below. And those dear shepherds felt it, you know, as these blessed tidings were declared to them, and Jacob felt it as he was at Bethel there. And then, of course, we have the wonderful case too of Moses at the burning bush. Moses said, I will now turn, as he viewed the burning bush, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he said, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, the Lord called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moses knew what it was to be afraid, just as Jacob did, just as these shepherds did. Not because of all their troubles, like we are often in, but because of the abundance of the blessing of heaven. And that's a wonderful place. And then the Lord, of course, gave to Moses that wonderful promise. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You don't find many people today that are afraid before God, do you? Those dear men knew it. So did the shepherds. And that has been so much with me since this text came. And we read, don't we? Though the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, they were afraid. You know, if you have a little glimpse by faith of the glory of the Lord. When the Lord delivered me in the old farmhouse at Hecton Farm, in the middle of the night, everything was darkness, and he so came into that room and into my poor heart, the glory of the Lord filled the room. And he said to me, Why weepest thou? I was afraid, and I wept before the God of heaven. Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? My soul leapt out within me and said, Lord, it's thee only I seek, and no other. And in a moment, instead of all the sin that had plagued me, he spoke those precious words, Thou art all fair, my love, and there's no spot in thee. the effect of it in my poor heart was this. I put my arms up. I said, Lord, take me home to glory. It was heaven begun below. And that's a wonderful place. That will soften the hardest part of your poor heart and mine. If the Lord favour you like he did these shepherds, like he did dear old Jacob, like he did Moses. You may say, oh, but I'm a poor, black, vile sinner. Poor soul, you'll feel it. But you'll need a mighty saviour. And this word, you see, was tidings to the ears of, good tidings to the ears of these shepherds. There's no doubt they felt it. And they felt the need of such a word. Well, let's bring it home to us, and I preach it to myself. Do you feel the need of this dear Jesus today? You see, we sing in the hymn, don't we? It's easy to sing these things, but oh, to know them. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And it was none but Jesus could do dear old Jacob good. It was none but Jesus that could do Moses good. It was none but Jesus that could do these shepherds good. So they were afraid. And you may, as I have indicated, have many things that are making you afraid to die. But here's the sweet antidote to it. And the angel said unto them, fear not, fear not. They needed that, didn't they? Oh, they did. Now you think in your poor heart, there may be those of you who have things you're fearing this morning. Do you not long for the Lord to say, fear not to you? Fear not. And when he does speak it, you know, it'll have a most blessed effect like it did with these shepherds. It can sweep away all the fears you may have in a moment. Let me name just a few occasions in the Word of God where the Lord spoke this. We know there were many, of course, but I'll name just a few. What we would begin with is the case of dear Abraham. Had many enemies out to destroy him. And what did the Lord say to him? Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What a mercy it is in the dear Saviour. He is our shield against all the enemies that may oppose you. Fear not, Abel. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And what did it do in the heart of dear Abraham? It calmed all his fears. It took away all what he was afraid of those enemies. So we have this beautiful fear not. And may the blessed Holy Spirit speak it to your poor heart like he did to Abraham. But then we think too of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. I love that beautiful word, you know, which the Lord spoke to Moses to speak to them. And you see, there were many things they feared at that Red Sea, weren't there? Oh, there was. They feared Pharaoh and his host. They were pursuing them on every side. They feared. And you see, Pharaoh's host was strong. The poor children of Israel, poor, weak characters. And what was before them? The sea. The Red Sea. And what did the Lord say to them? Through Moses, he was the messenger. So often, you know, the Lord used Moses to speak as God's messenger to the people. Throughout the Old Testament in particular, the Lord used to speak so often audibly from heaven to his dear children. It is not so much known today, and one reason is, of course, because we are favoured with the full gospel. And he often uses his servants as the messengers from heaven. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not." There they were, trembling with fear. These great army of Pharaoh pursuing them. The sea before them. There seemed no way of escape. You can well understand them fearing. "Fear ye not." And he calms their poor hearts with this, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today." And then this wonderful promise. "For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." It's one of the best prescriptions you can ever have, isn't it? "Ye shall hold your peace. The Lord shall fight for you." And that's exactly what the Lord did, didn't he? And you look how he made the way amidst all their fears through that sea to bring them through. And then when the Egyptians followed them, the sea returned to its strength, and all the hosts of the Egyptians, Pharaoh's house, were all destroyed. The Lord took the chariot wheels. You see the power of the Lord and the wonders he alone can do, the things that are impossible with men, but were possible with the Lord. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. Fear not." And as you come toward the close of this year, you may have many things as you look at the future, the unknown way, many fears. But poor soul, may the Lord whisper this word to you: "Fear not." Why? Because everything's in the Lord's hand. If you look at it in the case of the children of Israel at the Red Sea, they were in the Lord's hands, every one of them. And Pharaoh and all his hosts were in the Lord's hands. Even the chariots and the horses were in his hands. And he took off the chariot wheels, so they drove them heavily, we read. That's why they've not got to fear, because it was all in the Lord's hands. And when you can feel everything is in the Lord's hands, you've no need to fear. Because those hands can do the things that are impossible with us. The hand of the Lord is mighty and have all power. And when he stretched forth his hands, everything will have to bow before it. "Fear ye not." Stand still. Watch the Lord work. See his appearing. This is what these dear shepherds were to do. The wonders God alone was to fulfill here, the glorious coming of the dear Redeemer. He said unto them, fear not. But then, there's another wonderful case. We know there are many others, but I would just name it. In the prophecy of Isaiah, where in that 41st chapter, the Lord, you know, spoke those beautiful words, didn't he? Three times within a few verses, fear not. And may the Holy Spirit seal that home to your poor heart and mine this morning. And I will just name it. Firstly, he says it in verse 10, and what a blessed verse that has been to many of God's dear people. In times of great crisis, times of great trial and great temptation, and the Lord has said this, fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. I am with thee. You know, if you've got the Lord with you, poor soul, you've no need to fear. It's like a little child, you know, that may be with its dear parents, and you go out somewhere and there's something comes and it starts to cry and it's afraid, it fears. But oh, mother or father may pick it up and embrace it and comfort it, and it feels the protection that they give it. And so it is in a far greater way. The Lord, when he comes and he's with his dear people, fear not thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And then he says what he will do. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then too, in the 13th verse, he says this, for I am with thee, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And you know, when he takes you by the hand, poor soul, thy right hand, saying, fear not. I will help thee. I will help thee. You may feel so helpless this morning, and it may be things that are before you, or you're walking in now, and you feel so helpless in them. What does the hymn writer say? In themselves as weak as worms, how can poor believers stand when temptations, foes and storms press them close on every hand? Fear not, I will help thee. And then in the following verse, he begins with it again. It seems as though the Lord was confirming it and confirming it and confirming it to them. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. You know, you can't get much lower than a worm, can you? You know, it's a wonderful creature the Lord has put in the earth. It does wonders to the ground. And you know, Jacob knew what it was to feel just like a worm. You see, it's often trodden on, often despised. But you know, a worm does a lot of good. And you look here, he says, fear not, thou worm Jacob. You see, it speaks of, really, it's a humble little character, really, isn't it? A worm. And this is just where the Lord brings his dear people. So they are humbled before him, and Jacob knew what it was. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And what does he speak? This precious word, fear not, fear not, fear not. And poor soul this morning, let me name just one more character, then I must go further. We think of dear Jairus. He only had one only daughter. She lay a dying. You can understand the grief and concern in the poor man's heart. She lay a dying. And he pleads with the Saviour to come to the house, and Jesus has to deal with the case of the dear woman with the issue of blood on the way. Seemed as though the Lord delayed his coming, but you know there's a divine purpose in it, wasn't it? She must die. And as the Saviour went toward the house, the messenger came, saying, trouble not the master, thy daughter is dead. You think how he must have felt. Full of fear. The fears what he had now come to fruition. It was going to crush him. And what did the Saviour say? You know, we look at their circumstances, we look in our own hearts, and you look at all these things and the sin there is within you, and you begin to sink, don't you? But what did the Saviour say? A word to lift him right out of it all, though she lay dead. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. So different were the words of the Saviour than what he felt, weren't they? A word to lift him right up. And you look, as he went into the house, the Saviour put them all out because of their unbelief. And he took her by the hand and said, maid, arise. And she arose straightway. And he commanded they should give her meat to eat. Oh, the wonders, you see, the Saviour alone could do. Now, it was upon this glorious birth of the Saviour that this word was spoken, and the angel said unto them, fear not. Why are they not going to fear, these shepherds? Well, just briefly, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Glorious tidings, weren't they? But before we look at that, he says, for behold, wherever you find that word behold in the word of God, there's an important message to follow it. Dear John, in his gospel, what does he say? As he looks at the dear Saviour, as the dear Redeemer walk this earth, behold the Lamb of God. In other words, view the dear Redeemer by faith. The Lamb of God. And you know, there's some wonderful words that follow where the word behold is, isn't it? One comes to one's mind in the angel speaking concerning the church in Philadelphia. What does the Holy Spirit say to the church there? Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and not denied my name. It's a beautiful word, that is, isn't it? When I baptised the old Mrs. Brooks, a brave one, I preached from that, you know. The Lord brought her right to the close almost of her life. And he so blessed her, and he set before her the sacred step of baptism at that great age, the same as he did my late dear grandfather. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. The Lord, you know, and many sermons, of course, could be preached on it. There's many doors he opens for his dear people. Oh, he does. We think of that sacred door of obedience in following the dear Lord and Saviour. I have set before thee. And that's just what the Lord did before that dear woman, you know. An open door into the church of God. And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. And she had, and hast kept my word, and not denied my name. And behold, and here we have, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. What seemed to so stand out to me when this word came, how personal it is and was to these shepherds, and really will be to every one of God's dear children. I bring you good tidings. You know, we live in a day, don't we, where there's many evil tidings, many sad tidings, and many, you know, are filled with grief and sorrow in this dark day in which we live. But here, and it was, you see, prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus, we read through those 300 years prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus. It was a dark day. But now there was this great tidings to be spread forth. The glorious Redeemer had come. Fulfillment of all those promises which we hinted at on Thursday, from Genesis right through to the glorious coming of the dear Redeemer. All those promises must be fulfilled. And think of that last closing promise in the Old Testament. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. It was a wonderful promise. They looked forward. Now this was the day when it was come. Fear not, for behold, I bring you. It's personal. You see, it seemed to stand out to me so powerfully this morning. As one thought upon this about 5 o'clock, I lay thinking of it. I bring you. Is there one you here this morning? I bring you good tidings of great joy. And what were these tidings these shepherds were to be favoured to hear? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. For unto you. That seemed very sweet to me. And may the Holy Spirit convey that sweetness to you. For unto you. You may say, well, I'm a poor black vile sinner. Unto you. It's sinners that need a precious Jesus. He came to save sinners. And he came to save them to the uttermost. all that come unto God by him. Oh, yes. And poor soul, may that be of sweet encouragement to you. It's a personal word, you see, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. It was music to their ears, wasn't it? Oh, it was. And then, of course, he bids them of what they should look for, the sign. And you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And what was their desire? Immediately, they desired to go up to Bethlehem to see him. They couldn't rest till they did. And as I leave it this morning, I've only scratched the surface of it. May the Holy Spirit seal this home to each of our hearts, unto you. This blessed Redeemer was to come. And what will that do in your poor heart if the Holy Spirit convey it to you? It'd turn all the darkness into light. It'll remove all the sin that troubles you. Unto you, he came to redeem you. Think of that beautiful word in Isaiah. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. If the Lord tell you that this morning, poor soul, you're about to sing your way home for dinner. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Pickett will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Izzard will preach at our Christmas morning service at 9:30, and this service will be together with the Fenstanton congregation. And God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day. And to help with seating on Christmas morning, it would be helpful if you could let us know if you will not be here. Our closing hymn is 1106. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Hymn 1106.
Thank you.
give now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. Be with us now in the afternoon season and come up with us again this evening. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.